We're turning to the Gospel according to Luke and the chapter 12 of Luke's Gospel, and we'll start our Bible reading at verse 31. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Ending there at verse 40, and we know that the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of his precious word. This morning, I would like us to consider what it is to be ready for the Lord's coming. It says here, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. The second coming of Christ is the great and glorious promise of the New Testament scriptures. Just as his first advent was the great and glorious promise of the Old Testament scriptures. And while time passed, God nevertheless kept his word. And in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ was born. He came into this world. And he came specifically to seek and to save that which was lost. He did that by his atoning death upon the tree at Calvary. How that he suffered there, he bled there, and shed his precious blood, that we might be redeemed from sin and going down to the pit. There are over 300 references to the Saviour's return in the New Testament. And so then we have to admit how absolutely certain is our Lord's return. Once the Saviour came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, but he must appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He who came in humiliation must come again in glory. The Redeemer who came to redeem must come again to claim his blood-bought inheritance. And the whole drama of divine redemption cannot be completed without this last act of the appearing of our blessed Savior. In the words of Christ, "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." The words of Scripture that we read today exhort us to be in a state of readiness for his return. What is it then to be ready for the coming of the Son of God? First of all, to be ready is to be washed. Every sinner needs to be washed in the blood of Christ, needs to be cleansed from his sin, needs to be saved by God's grace. And in order to be ready for that day of our Savior's coming, you need to be washed, you need to be saved, you need to be born again. That needs to be emphasized in these days, for we live in days of carelessness, days of godlessness, days of Christlessness, days when men and women are taken up with worldly things, and they have no thought for the things which are eternal. And therefore, it is vitally important to emphasize at the outset that to be ready for the Savior's coming, you must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, in the words of the hymn writer, I ask you this morning, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I'm glad there was a day in my life. I was a teenager, aged 14, when I plunged beneath that flood and my guilty stains were washed away. I'm glad the Lord saved me young in life, and he kept me down the years. And although there have been times when I haven't lived up to what I professed I ought to have been, yet nevertheless, the Lord Jesus Christ has never failed. My friend, whatever age in life you're at today, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to come and put your trust and your faith in him who died on the cross and who paid sin's penalty, who suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And therefore today, the very first step is to be washed from your sins. You can't meet God in your sin. You can't meet God the way you are. You need a change. You need the grace of God. You need Christ. Thank God, when we have Christ, then we have all we need. Are you ready? Have you been washed? Are you cleansed from sin? If not, then come today and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Then moving on, having been washed, naturally, in order to be ready for the Savior's coming, we need to be waiting. waiting. Jesus told his disciples here in Luke 12 and verse 36. He said in that verse, "Ye yourselves be like unto men that wait for their Lord." Waiting. He's speaking to his own when he says that. He's speaking to blood-washed people. Speaking to believers, disciples, and followers. And therefore, it is a necessity that we hear this today, for we need to be waiting as God's people for the Lord's return. Such waiting is mentioned by the Apostle Paul as an evidence of the reality of God's saving grace in the new convert. You read the book of 1 Thessalonians, and in the chapter 1, and in the verse 10, he talks about them being delivered from idols, saved from falsehood, saved from their sins to serve the living and the true God. We're saved to serve the Lord. We're saved to live for God. And we're saved to wait upon Him. And I wonder, are you as God's child waiting upon the Lord? In Luke 12, verse 36, the word for wait in this verse means waiting so as to receive. Waiting to receive. It means waiting to receive, for example, a visitor or a guest. This clearly is seen in the verse, "And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." Many have taken in hand to preach on the second coming of Christ. And many have taken this passage of Scripture even down through the ages. And no less a preacher than C.H. Spurgeon preached on these verses from Luke chapter 12. And as he preached, he told his 5,000, 6,000 strong congregation in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, he says, "As I speak to you now, I know that my dogs are sitting at the door waiting for my return. And as soon as they hear the first sound of the chariot wheels coming up the driveway, they will raise their voices in a great crescendo of excitement and anticipation, welcoming their master home." And then he went on to apply it, and he said, "Oh, that we loved our Lord as much as my dogs love their master." Can't we learn even from the dumb animal? Can't we learn in simplicity today the need to wait for our Lord? Those dogs were waiting at the door. And I know it's true, for we have a little dachshund at home who's so loyal, loving, and true. And what a welcome. Even you only went to the shop and back again. What a welcome she gives on our return. Oh, may we be ready to welcome our Savior when he comes. I wonder Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And as a child of God, are you waiting on your Master's return? Thirdly, to be ready not only means to be washed and waiting, but it means to be watching. This is intimately related to the previous two things I have said. For in verse 37 of Luke chapter 12, we read this. Jesus said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." The word is there, isn't it? Notice also in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42 that it says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Watching is part of preparation. We are to be ready for the future. Watching for the Lord's coming is anticipation of his coming. This is not watching just in case something happens, but it is watching because something is going to happen. There's no doubt about it. He's coming again. You go to the airport and you watch for the arrival of the aeroplane that you anticipate will be coming with a friend or even a member of the family on board. This is the kind of watching that is enjoined here for us. Watching will keep us ready for his coming. It will keep us right in our attitude. This fundamental requirement of the Christian life will place us always on the alert, lest our Lord come and find us sleeping. Far too many today are watching other things, watching things which are to no profit and of no avail, instead of watching for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I wonder today, are we watching? The word watch is also interesting. It literally means wakefulness. Wakefulness. How often we slumber and sleep. And how often we are not alert to what's going on around us and to the expectation of the future. It means wakefulness. It is the same word that was found on our Savior's lips in the Garden of Gethsemane when the disciples failed to watch and they fell asleep. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40. We today as believers are to maintain a state of readiness for our Savior's coming in watching. Let me say, watching against three things. First of all, spiritual drowsiness. That is the dulling of our affections for Christ and the waning of our interest in spiritual things. And also the deadening of our devotional life. All of these things require watchfulness, require us to be awake, lest we feel the Lord. Spiritual drowsiness. I wonder today, do you love the Lord as much, even more, than you loved him when you started out on the Christian life? We don't want to be like the church at Ephesus, who'd lost their first love. And because they were neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. There's nothing worse than lukewarmness, even to taste. You feel like spewing it, as Jesus said, out of the mouth. Wonder today, what about lukewarm Christians? Cold Christians, used to be hot, on fire for the Lord, unashamed of his gospel, taking a stand against sin and ungodliness and wickedness and compromise. But today, the standard has been lowered. We're lukewarm. We're drowsy. The affections for Christ have waned. And there's a deadening of our spiritual conscience in regard to the issues of today. We need to be quickened, don't we? I don't want to be found in a compromising situation when Christ comes or even calls. I want to be an out-and-out separatist for Christ, out-and-out on fire for him, out-and-out in service for the Master. I want to be the person that God expects me to be. Therefore, we need to watch. Watch against spiritual drowsiness. We need also to watch against spiritual deception. Spiritual deception. There's so much of that today. We've been deceived on every side, both in the political world and in the religious world. And there are no greater deceivers today than those false preachers in the pulpits of the nation. Deceivers, leading people astray into darkness, into falsehood, into bondage, instead of preaching the liberties of the gospel and the old-fashioned truths of the Word of God. That's where we need to get back to the fundamentals of the faith as contained in this book of God. Spiritual deception on every side. How we need to be watching against that. Awake. Awake. And watching also involves exercising spiritual discernment. We need spiritual discernment. But ye brethren, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 5, verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's an exhortation for us today as well. Oh, let us be watchful against spiritual drowsiness and deception. And let us watch that the Lord might give to us spiritual discernment in this wicked and dark age. How we need it. Our church needs it. And as individuals, we need it too. To be ready is to be washed. To be ready is to be waiting. To be ready is to be watching. And to be ready is to be working. The Lord said in verse 35 of Luke 12, "Let your loins be girded about." The reference is, of course, to the need in the East of tying up those long, loose, flowing garments so that they do not become a hindrance to the pilgrim on his journey or the laborer in the field. And of course, as believers, we are both pilgrims and laborers. And therefore, we are to work. We're pilgrims bound for glory. And we don't want anything to trip us up on our journey. And by the way, dear Christian brother, sister, if you do get tripped up and you fall as a Christian, Psalm 37 tells us and encourages us, the Lord will lift us up again. Don't stay lying down. Don't stay a fallen believer. There's no profit there. There's nothing but loss and mud and muck and dirt and filthiness. But thank God we can rise up again. And the one who lifts us up is God Himself. So if you have fallen by the wayside, maybe you are a backslider. Maybe you don't love the Lord now the way you used to. My friend, get on your knees before the Lord and call upon Him. He's able to restore the years the locusts have eaten. He's able to give you back the joy of your salvation. He's able to give you strength for the journey so that you can journey on and advance towards heaven. Oh, don't stay in the gutter. Rise up. Quit you, like men, be strong, and let the Lord have His way. Don't let anything hinder you in your working for Christ. Maybe you'd love to serve looking after children, teaching them the Bible, showing them Christ from the Scriptures, encouraging young people, doing a service for the Lord. Be not weary in that work, because I tell you, in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. I believe children's work is a most important work, not only in this age, but in every age. When I think of our cities and towns, and even more laterally in the conservative country areas, children are more and more being allowed to grow up without a knowledge of God, without a knowledge of Scripture, without knowing the Ten Commandments or even the Lord's Prayer. And they're far away from God. And they're wandering down the broad road further and further into sin. And there's a great need for the believer to run after these children and to warn them and to teach them and to show them Christ by your living and by your teaching and to win them for the Savior. Oh, let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. And then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, praise God, I will be there. Are you working? Remember, Jesus told the parable of the talents. One man received 10 talents, and he went and traded and worked with those talents, and he gained 10 more besides. That was a good job, a job well done. The man who received 5, he went to work as well, and he gained 5 others besides also. A good job, well done. The man who had only 1 talent, he hid it. He dug a hole in the ground and hid it deep out of sight. Foolish. I don't know how many talents you may have. It may be 1. Use it. Let God be glorified in the using of that talent. If you have 5 or more, use them. Let them be spent for the glory of God. And praise God, you'll gain by it. And you'll hear the well done of God. To be ready is to be washed in the blood of Christ. To be ready is to be waiting on his return. To be ready is to be watching against all kinds of deception and watching in the truth. To be ready is to be working, and to be ready is also to be witnessing. In verse 35, it not only says, let your loins be girded about, but it says, and your lights burning. Your lights burning. We live in a world of darkness. And perhaps the only light that some people will ever see is the light that shines from your life. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let it be set upon an hill. He who lights the candles puts it into a candlestick. Why? That it may give light to all that are in the house. Let your light shine at home, in the house, in the yard, in the workplace, in the place of recreation. Oh yes, let your light shine there. Let your light so shine before others that they might see your good works. Not that good works save, but the good works mentioned there are your works for Christ. That they might see it, and your Father in heaven will be glorified. Oh, may it be that we will let our light shine through our spiritual character, through our daily conduct, and through our constant companionship with Christ in this life. And when it comes to that time, you'll have no regrets when the Lord comes or calls you home. Let us therefore look to Christ at all times. Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Christ came the first time to suffer for us, to be humiliated, and to die in ignominy and shame on Calvary's cross. He did that to save us. And now that we are believers, we expect him to come again. Not to die, nor in humility, but he's coming in glory. He's coming in honor. He's coming, and all his holy angels, and every eye shall see him, even the wicked. And what's going to happen to them? Even the very ungodly, the blasphemer, the agnostic, the atheist, they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But it'll be too late. It'll be too late. And as they make that confession on their sinful, wicked lips, he will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." You don't want to be amongst them, do you? You don't want to be in that crowd. You want to be amongst the blood-washed, amongst the people of God, to hear him say, "Well done, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What a reward that will be. And it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. We're going to sing and we're going to shout the victory.